Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Nitta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm okay. This feels weird.
It does feel weird. I feel like we've been really kind of time traveling a little more than usual. I'm worried that we're going to create sort of a butterfly effect moment with the amount of hopping back and forth in our own recording timeline that we've been doing. But ideally, we don't, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know how much more we could possibly fuck up this timeline than it already is. So that's the good part.
I keep thinking that about this year in general and the past, like, 5 years in general. And life keeps finding new and surprising ways to fuck the timeline up. So I don't want to go on record and say that this is it.
That's true. It's also possible that it's our own fault, but I don't know. No. Let's not take that on.
No.
I think we're just humble comedy sports journalists and not catalysts of the apocalypse, ideally, knock on wood.
I mean, unless.
So we are coming at you from a time that is not the time that we recorded the rest of this episode. As you may have heard in our previous episode, we recorded the bulk of this right after the Russian test skates. It's going to be covering the ladies' singles. And we then went on a very brief break, during which time all hell broke loose. And so now we're just going to, like, pop in and talk about that and then send you off to the rest of the episode. And hopefully the continuity tracks.
Back when we were a baby podcast many, many moons ago, we used to use the fact that we're theater people a lot more. And there's one thing that theater people and playwrights and dramaturgs and all of those people love, and that's dramatic irony. You know, when the entire audience knows something and the people on stage don't, and you just kind of watch them be embarrassing and you want to be like, no, he's still alive, and like, don't drink this poison or like whatever, because you
don't
know.
Fuck her, that's your mom.
No, that's your mom, and this is an ancient curse and whatever. So we're leaning in. You're about to hear 80% of this episode be just intense dramatic irony and us saying things that mere days after we recorded just became completely untrue. But that's funny. It's funny to listen to people be extremely wrong, right?
Yeah, it's like rain on your wedding day.
Good advice.
It's a free ride that you just can't take. Wait.
Yeah.
I don't know the lyrics. I'm sorry. I'm a bad Alanis. What's her fan base called? Stannis Morris stands. I'm sorry, Stannis Morris stands. Don't cancel me. Anyway, I'm stalling and vamping because this is the most upsetting thing that's ever happened to me personally, even though I in no way was involved, aside from an intense amount of personal projection onto a complete stranger's journey. So let's get into it.
In the edit, can we keep this very long pregnant pause?
I mean, yeah, that's on you.
Yo, what is Evgenia Medvedeva doing? 5 minutes into this recording, I gotta ask, what is Evgenia Medvedeva doing and why?
All right, so from a factual perspective, we should lay this out there, because I know we have listeners who get their information from us.
Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry.
No, I'm not sorry. So here's what happened. One of our favorite storylines from the entirety of this podcast, the past couple of seasons of figure skating, has been Evgenia Medvedeva, Olympic silver medalist from 2018, who left pretty much the villain of the figure skating world, Ateri Tutberidze, known hard ass. And she, Evgenia, left and went to Canada to train at the Toronto Cricket Club with Brian Orser and Tracy Wilson. It's like a beautiful paradise of like multicultural good feelings where people have nutritionists and sports psychologists and support and good technique. And it was just like one of the few really beautiful, heartwarming, feel-good stories. And Evgenia herself had lots of ups and downs and was like getting good choreography and like being happy. And then, of course, 2020 did its magic on the one nice thing we have.
Yeah, she's chosen to go back to Sambo and her old team. And I want to preface this by saying I understand that travel is extremely hard right now. From personal experience, I can very much understand, like, having visa problems or just right now not being able to travel. So I could understand her being like, hey, I can't get to Canada right now. I will stay home and train at home. That's fine and understandable. What I don't understand is going back to the exact same situation that she's like openly critiqued before and left once already. Like, there's other people in Russia, right?
Yeah, I have some theories. First of all, I want to just say, Netta, if you can't come back to America, you're not going to replace me with a Terry, right?
Well, I don't know. We maybe should talk about this off the air.
Ouch. Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
I make no promises. She has an extensive Louis Vuitton collection, and that's exciting for me.
Yeah, that's true. I can't compete in that respect. But no, joking aside, I too understand why. Because, I mean, Brian himself said, like, I really can't help you unless I'm there in person. And I appreciate that he was honest about that, because I think a lesser coach would have, like, continued to take her money and given her substandard, you know, education and training. And but he really does want the best for his athletes, as far as we can tell. So it makes sense. I think, I don't know. I mean, apparently they parted on really, really good terms. And there were a lot of, like, sweet, mushy Instagram posts where everything was, like, you know, cute and copacetic. And I think the thing that, I guess to respond to, like, why a Terry, I get the feeling from what we've heard from, like, Brian and, like, Tatiana Tarasova and everybody, that there were options on the table and that a Terry was, like, a surprise option, and there was some pressure from the Federation to go with that option. And I think it would be, like, okay, a Terry had open spots because Trusova and Valieva...
Because everyone fucked off.
Yeah, because everyone fucked off. So Trusova left, Kosternaya left. There was, you know, that great exodus to the Angels of Ploshenko. And so there was some space. So it could have been, like, a funding thing, an availability thing. They could have offered her a good deal. Like, who's to say? I think... I also understand, because we talk about this a lot on this show, is how going into a new training environment, it's like a whole adjustment period. And, like, Evgenia is, like, already coming off of having just had that with cricket a couple years ago. So she knows she's a person who needs time to, like, warm up to a new environment, a new coach. And she is a person who is, like, dealing with some injuries. Granted, those injuries were mostly sustained at Sambo, so that's not comforting.
Hey everyone, Editing Netta here, live from the cutting room. We know! Welcome to level 3 of this Inception fever dream that we're all collectively having. We literally cannot make this episode fast enough for nothing to happen while we're trying to get it out. As of right now, Zhenya has pulled out of the second part of the Russian Cup because she has aggravated her back injury, and we are aware of the dramatic irony of the fact that we mentioned it and then it happened. That's all. I just wanted you to know that I am actively screaming as I edit this. Enjoy the rest of this episode. Bye.
But she's a little later in her career, especially by, like, a Russian female standard. So I can see why she might not want to take on, like, a third new place. But it's like the devil you know versus the devil you don't, right?
I don't know. If someone was like, hey, Netta, you get to, like, be in a play right now. And in order to be in that play, you have to go back to 10th grade and rejoin your high school musical club. I'm not sure I would say yes. Like, I would be in a play, and that sounds like a lot of fun. But do I want to be a high school sophomore again? Like, from a trauma point of view?
I was thinking of it like, you have to have a date for a wedding, And you can either be set up with a random person by people you don't trust, or you can just take your shitty ex who you know how to handle and you've grown a lot since you were with them. So you know how to keep their shit under control and, like, you know, hopefully they won't act a fool. And at least you know what you're getting into. Like, I think it's that, but I really just hope that she really has grown and, like, because it's like, it's not just on her. Like, it's if she can't be like, no, I'm a sassy independent woman and I'm going to say no to my coaches when they tell me to, like, you know, only eat one shrimp a day or, like, do ugly choreography. Like, that's not on her. Like, it's the amount of agency that the Sambo girls are given is historically, like, zero.
Mm, yeah. I don't know. It's just shady. It's also just wild to me because we know, and we can never, like, talk about it enough because we will never have the information, but we know that there's a lot of politics that goes into Russian figure skating. And it's just curious, you know, not to be Aaron Burr about this, but I would kill to have been in the room where this particular Zoom call happened, where those choices were made and discussed. Because I don't think there was a single person outside of this one conversation who was not shocked by this. Like, judging from other people's reactions and, like, Twitter and other skaters, I do not think anyone saw this coming.
I don't think Evgenia saw this coming. Like, I think from what I heard from Brian, it was, like, all pretty fast. And, like, I think it's, yeah, it's, I hope, like, here's what I hope. I think this is the best case scenario. Is that it's all very Game of Thrones, like, everyone's playing each other. Everyone knows they hate each other, but they're being nice for the sake of, you know, all getting a mutually good result and helping each other's reputations. And in an ideal world where maybe we can travel again one day, it would be nice if Evgenia could return to cricket one day. Ida Bryant himself has said that, like, we don't know. We genuinely don't know. It's not like, you know, yeah, fingers crossed. It's like, truly nobody has any idea. But I just, much like everything else, I'm trying to see this as temporary and hopefully something that she can use to her advantage.
2020, in, like, a very... I'm trying to see this as temporary. I know it's October, yeah. But I'm submitting this as the motto for the rest of this year.
Yeah, you know when, like, Katniss Everdeen goes into, like, those, like, parties at the Capitol and she's, like, playing nice, but, like, she's still, like, the heroine of the YA story,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Here's hoping. I want to bring something else up before we dive into the past of this episode. I'm looking at the pictures that Zhenya and Eteri both posted on Instagram from, like, their announcements. The two pictures are either identical or were taken, like, right after one another. And they're fine, you know, just dead-eyed people standing on the ice, making an announcement, and it's Sergei and Eteri and Danny G and Zhenya. What is weird about this photograph is that Daniil Gleichengaus is the only person in this photograph wearing figure skates. Everyone else is in, like, sneakers, and Eteri's wearing, like, full, like, snow boots on the ice. And he's the only person who looks like he has been skating. And for some reason, it's so funny to me.
What if he's really bad at walking on the ice? Like, wouldn't that be so funny if, like,
he has just, to skate.
Like, just as a fun character quirk, like, he just, it's full, like, Parks and Rec, like, what's that scene where they, what's
get
the song?
Get on your feet.
Get on your feet. But, like, he just can't walk on the ice. I want that to be true, because we could all use a little bit of comedy.
It's just so funny. They look like they're going to different sports, all of them.
Maybe he wants to be tall. Is he, like, naturally not a tall dude?
Maybe he wants to, like... I mean, he's a figure skater, so I'm guessing he's not super tall. He's taller than everyone in his figure skates. I don't know. It's so funny.
I just want to also, while we're talking about Danny G, I want to say that one of the most painful things that's happened to me, and it really is a very painful experience all around, is him giving this, like, smug fucking interview afterwards where someone was like, oh, are you going to change the beautiful Shaylin choreography? And he's like, are you going to consult with Shaylin? Are you going to consult with, you know, the choreographers of Evgenia's pieces? And he was like, I don't think we need consultation on how to do a waltz. I pray to God every single night before I go to sleep that I could wake up with the confidence of Daniil Gleichengaus.
You know, those tote bags that are like, carry yourself with the confidence of a mediocre cishet white man. It's that, but it's just carry yourself with the confidence of Daniil Gleichengaus.
Daniil Gleichengaus has fewer syllables than mediocre cishet white man, and so it's more economic to just say that.
If we were to make a sticker, would anyone buy it? Let us know in the comments below or on Twitter @TeistyPod.
I would buy it.
We're clearly coping through comedy. That's what we do here. Should we go to the rest of this episode? Do we have anything else to say about this?
Just we wish Evgenia the best. And honestly, like, comedy aside, I actually like took it really hard. And so I'm really sorry if anybody else did too. I think it's like anybody who sort of used Evgenia as like a personal hero of like, you can get out of a toxic situation. I think it's hard to see things like that happen. But remember that celebrities and athletes are not you, and you don't have to go back into a toxic situation if you personally don't want to.
You
Amen.
Don't have to go back to Russia. And also, on that kind of same note, we don't know the full story, and we will never know the full story, and yeah, we can't know how she feels about it, and hopefully it's fine.
Well, we love you, Evgenia. We still stan, so
yeah, no choice but to stan.
Davai, Maladyets, and Nazdrov. What's I don't know, you know Russian better than I do.
Yeah, no, that was all great. Zazdravia, everyone, and we will see you on the other side of this time travel adventure.
Everyone get in the time machine. Beep boop beep boop beep boop. Yeah, so let's talk about some women. So you've come full 360 on the women experience. Congratulations.
Yeah.
We are back.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm hyped to be here. It's a way more fun experience when I'm like truly having fun.
Yeah. So we didn't get to see all of them, and I was okay with that because in the case of the Russian women's field, all of them is like 413 year olds, so I'm okay with the fact that only a few showed up. That for me is like, yes, excellent, editing is important.
Yes, agreed. But we got like a very like god tier lineup. The only person I was truly missing for this to be like an insane group of women was Alina, who had said that she would skate test skates and then she didn't, and I'm not sure why, but that's valid of her.
Yeah, I like it when she flexes her I don't have to muscles.
Yeah.
I love that for her in particular.
Yeah, she posted an Instagram story like yesterday of like filming a Nike campaign or something, so she's having a good time out there.
Secure that bag.
And stuff. Wow. Just simultaneously saying, secure that bag.
That's it. That's the attitude. So we missed Alina. We also missed half of Alyona Kosternaya. That makes it sound like she was just a torso. She did her short program, and then she pulled out because I guess she was just not ready. The free skate just wasn't ready. She's doing it over the internet with Shailen Bourne, which, like, yes, God, that's going to be incredible. Dream team.
I'm so excited for that.
So excited. Like, we've been saying, like, let's get Kosternaya with some nice choreo. I mean, Shailen is, like, the nicest choreo, some of it anyway. Mm. So that's going to rule. I'm happy to wait for that. I think it's smart to not put out something that's not ready because this is, to me, felt very, like, all the vultures are watching, you know, like.
Yeah. It also kind of speaks to the same thing that we're saying with Alina, that this is lower stakes, and it's also the kind of thing where you could afford to be like, I don't have to show you a thing if I don't have the thing.
Yeah, you know, shades of Evgenia at Russian Nationals last year where she knew that she was going to be heavily scrutinized for her coaching change, and if she had an issue with her boot, she'd rather just not go out and, you know, not make a good showing. So, respect. I think, you know, so for those of you who are not, like, as up on the Russian coaching drama, or if you need a refresher, because it's been a while. So Alyona Kosternaya is one of the girls who moved from Sambo 70, coached under Terry Tutberidze and Daniil Gleichengaus and Sergei Dudikov, and moved to be coached by Evgeny Plushenko, and also Alexandra Trusova did the same. And this is the first time we've seen both of them skate since this exodus. And So this was like the thing, right? We're like, oh my God, how's it going to be? And how is Anna Shcherbakova, the one of the 3A who stayed, going to fare now that she's, you know, the one who stayed left behind, however you want to call it, maybe getting more individual attention, probably a lot of pressure on her to show that staying is the right choice from their point of view.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say that I'm thrilled by what I saw from Sasha Tristeva. I was so impressed and like fully on board for the very first time with where she's at right now. I also did spend half an hour trying to find out where to buy her Adidas crop top.
Yes, the fashion Foot Locker sweater. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, I spent a while looking for it because I would love to own it. But I feel like it's so interesting the way you can see how a different approach changes the way an athlete performs.
Yeah. And I was also really, so, okay, I want to preface by saying that I really felt exactly the same regarding her short program. And then I was confused by her free skate because to me it felt like a return to the busy, overcrowded, not very artistic style that we knew from her. And I was disappointed because I wanted that.
I wonder if that free skate is something that she had started working on before switching.
Yeah, I also think
we can't know, but
no. And I think too, I guess, so I'm not an athlete or a figure skater, but you know, analogous experience would be, I remember like changing to different voice teachers when I was like studying voice and opera and everything really, really seriously. And you know, I would like change to a new teacher who would teach me really amazing technique that I knew was healthy and great and like gonna serve me really well in the long run. But then I would go to get adjudicated or I would go to perform and I would get so nervous that I would just fall right back to my old technique and my old ways because it was what I knew.
Yeah.
And I could see that also maybe being the case if like you just fall back on habit because it's a high stakes scenario.
I fully still do that. I took an improv workshop recently and I'm not going to get into detail because it's boring, but in an exercise, I felt myself doing the things that when I teach improv to like children and teenagers, I tell them, do not do this and this and this. And then I was in a situation where I panicked and I did the exact same thing. It's just like a thing people do in new situations, I think. And I wonder if it's like when it's the field where you're supposed to be incredibly well-trained. And then it's like, oh, but here's a bad habit. And I will like go back to that because it's a safety.
The alternative is relying on the new technique, which you're not as familiar with and like falling or like not having it yet. And that shows.
Yeah.
It's like now all of a sudden it's become with all this coaching drama and all of this, well, drama. I don't really know what other word. It's just drama. It's pure drama.
Intrigue.
High octane drama. Intrigue, conflict. Like, it's like now this is the proving ground. It's almost like taken on this whole other meaning. And so now it's like not about should we send Sasha to international competition? Like, of course we should. But like, is this new coaching change? Like, how does it, even down to the way they dressed, I found so fascinating because test skates are an arena where you don't have to wear a costume. A lot of people's costumes aren't done yet. A lot of people go out in like athletic wear or like if like Zhenya is like a brand ambassador for Nike, so she wore her Nike gloves, like stuff like that. But you know, if you want to, I think it comes off a little try hard to be like, I'm going out in my whole sequined Leo, you know?
You can't talk about Liza like that.
Okay, no. Liza is in a class of her own, and we are going to get there. But it's interesting to me that Sambo went out and or sent out, you know, Anna Shcherbakova and Kamila Valieva. Sorry, I forgot. They had another skater in the test skates as well.
Yeah.
They sent them out in these, you know, like beautiful, nice, like sequin dresses, and they were lovely. And they skated these very polished, kind of safe, instrumental, pretty programs, nothing like crazy remarkable there. And then you got the new Plushenko girls who came out.
Yeah.
And I guess like Zhenya to an extent kind of also represented under that like ex-Sambo faction who came out in their like cool, like sexy, like athleisure and were like, they gave off this vibe of, oh, I like don't need to try that hard. Like, I'm really cool and not you're lucky I'm here. But it's the difference between showing up to, like, a hot party in, like, jeans and a black shirt or a dress that you clearly spent 3 hours picking out, you know?
Yeah. It reminds me of, and I know I keep talking about acting school, but it reminds me of when you're told wear something you can move in and have the people in, like, black leggings from Forever 21. And then you have someone in, like, a pair of Ladukas. It's like, who are you trying to impress? We're all here, like, learning an eight count. I do want to say, Camila Valieva, I doubt she's going to keep this costume, but her free skate with the red gloves, yes.
Always love a red glove. Always.
Yeah, I enjoy a color glove. Also, like, Anna Shcherbakova's, like, navy mesh going into gloves as well. I think a colorful glove is always so fun and intriguing. And I hope they keep them, and I doubt they will, because you know they're going to need something.
They're going to need to be like 3-4 more dresses on top of them at this point.
Yeah, but I wish they would keep this. Especially Camilla's, because it was like a jumpsuit as well. I was into it.
I love that Camila is committed to pants or shorts or whatever it is. Here's what I have to say about Anna Shcherbakova's costume. I believe it was the free skate. It was like navy, purple, indigo, whatever.
Yeah.
And it had that cool X at the back that was like a layer of like opaque fabric and then a layer of mesh. And it looked like it created this interesting shadow effect. Like that was so rad to me. And yeah. I hadn't seen that before. And so I loved that. And then I wish the rest of it was a little more simple. Like I would have loved it if it was just a short sleeve. I think it going all the way down with the long sleeves and the gloves was like too heavy, and she's so small and petite that like it just felt like heavy on her, but that was just my, I also understand that that makes your arms look longer and more graceful, and if that's what her selling point is, like it's probably strategy too.
Yeah, it's also interesting that both of her, I'm looking at like stills from both right now, both of her costumes, they were black and navy, and they have the exact same shape of the like wrist into glove situation. So I wonder if it's just like a brand that she works with for semi-formal, not exactly practice wear, but, you know, things you can wear to a test kind of thing. Because it's very much the same shape. So I'm like,
It's my understanding that Sambo just has like a costume designer and that's why they all look like that.
Yeah.
You know?
That wouldn't surprise me. When I was a cheerleader, we would go to get our like measurements taken at this studio for a place that does costumes for like gymnasts and cheerleaders and dance teams and stuff. And it was always like so impressive to me when I was like 11, because the walls would be covered in pictures of just like rhythmic gymnasts and stuff. And it's a lot of that, a lot of this, a lot of what we're seeing here. It's just like the in-house, like, oh, this is the cut we can do. And everyone's getting it.
Yeah. I felt like, I guess to talk about the Sambo girls first, I felt like Valieva felt a little bit more mature. She looks a little older. She skates a little older. She's still got all of the nice things about her that we like. You know, she's got grace and fluidity that not all of the, you know.
Have you acquired a dog?
Oh, no, my neighbors didn't. It barks constantly. And I'm like, I know that dogs bark. Most people probably don't care. But I just, is it, this is like, am I the asshole, right? Like, am I the asshole for thinking that if you live in a, like a suburb where the houses are very close to each other, that you should think about maybe getting a quieter dog or like taking it out on more walks? I don't know shit about dogs.
Yeah, they terrify me. I just heard a dog and got distracted.
Yeah, no, this is my life now. This is my fucking life now. I think they have two beautiful little kids and they deserve a pet because they're just great kids. But for me, I could have lived without the loudness of the dog. Anyway, dogs are great. Whatever. Don't hate me because I don't understand them. I'm a cat person. So, Camila Valieva, she always looks sad and scared and it upsets me. I think it was a mistake to watch Athlete A like the night before Russian test skates. It really had me spooked. Yikes. And every time I saw anybody, I was like, run away. I see her little scared face and I'm like, no, sweet baby.
Yeah, I think there is room for her to like grow into her scared face. But also like comparing it to like, I'm looking at a still from Kostrynaya's short program right now. It's just like the couple of years of growing up and difference between like looking terrified and looking like, oh, I know what I'm doing. Just like, let me do my thing. I have one red sleeve and I'm here to perform.
I don't know if Kostrynaya ever looked that scared though. I think that's why she's special, is because she never had that like terror.
I hate it we're back here. I hate it we're still talking about them scared girls.
I know, but as long as we're in Russia, we're going to be talking about scared little girls. That's just how it is. And speaking of, we should talk about Anna Shcherbakova, who did a lovely job.
Yeah.
Looked scared and frail, as always, but skated lovely. I was just so bored. Like, my God, we know she can skate lovely to, like, kind of a contemporary-ish movie soundtracky kind of sounding
yeah.
piano and some strings song. Can she do something else?
I mean, they wouldn't let her do something else is the other thing. It's like...
No, totally.
What else? Right?
I'm wondering if they're trying to sell Sambo now as, like, the old guard.
Like, classical.
Classic. Yeah, which is... Yeah. Wild, because just like last year they were like, we're the new face of skating, we're not like, you know, Mission, they were the new school, they were the future, and then now all of a sudden they're trying to sell this image of like, we're classical, we only
classical.
Dainty and, you know, ladylike and reserved. It's wild.
Gross. Can I just say, this is barely related, can I just say that it's weird and insane to me that Man with the Harmonica is becoming a warhorse this season.
Can you educate me about this? Because this is one that I don't really know. Like, what's it from?
It's from, I think the original, like, the theme in the very beginning with, like, the whistle is from Once Upon a Time in the West. So it's, like, music for when you enter a Wild West bar with, like, swinging doors with your guns out.
That's, yeah.
It's, like, Western.
That sounds like whistling to me.
that's like what it is. But we had two separate programs in two separate fields with the guys and the girls featuring cuts from that, and I'm not opposed to it because I'm strangely into a Western aesthetic, but I'm also like, how did we, you know, whichever weird council gets together midsummer to talk about what the warhorse is gonna be, how did we get to that?
The elders convened and they were like,
Western.
Cowboys. It's cowboys this time.
Cowboys.
Cowboys and...
You know what? I'm not opposed to
cowboys,
it.
Cowboys? Maybe a freaky sailor or two.
It's like me deciding on like a D&D campaign. It's like, I don't know, like vaguely Western, but also a sailor.
That's like people being like, Megan, what's your type?
Like, vaguely Western, but also a freaky
cowboys,
sailor.
Cowboys. Maybe a freaky sailor. Cowboys. No, that's not true. Anyway, so that's that. They did fine. I don't think anybody really skated, like, both clean and, like...
No.
Landed everything as impressively as they wanted to. Like, there were quads, but not all the quads were landed, but some of them were. With no score box or calling, really. I mean, like, Ted commentated, but not really in a technical way because there was no scoring.
Yeah.
It wasn't really about that for me.
Yeah, and also, like, after last season, I'm no longer waiting to be like, oh my God, are we going to get, like, quads with the ladies? Especially in Russia, I'm like, yeah, we will. What else are we getting?
Yeah. It's not as, like, distracting to be like, oh my God, a quad. It's like, you can kind of look beyond that now and be like, okay, but does she have junior arms? You know, that kind of thing. So let's talk about the defectors. Let's talk about Kosternaya and Trusova and, like, sort of Zhenya, although she was, like, previous generation. Again, this dog is driving me insane. I swear to God. I'm going to have to
I'm into the dog. I think it's humanizing.
It's humanizing? So you know that I'm a human and not a Venus hot, sexy Martian?
Yeah, no, you're not a Martian on Venus, Megan. Jesus.
There's no dogs on Venus.
That's not how it works. I think I already kind of talked about Sasha.
Yeah, her short program was like, oh my God, look at, she has lines. She's letting her elements breathe. She's skating a little more
mature.
Is
this controversial? I deeply, profoundly wish she would let go of her cantilever.
Here's what I think. I think she should...
Do it in an exhibition.
It's the way that it's placed into programs. I think that it could be cool in competition if it was like, we'll put it in a free skate during the choreography segment in the third act just to keep it fun. But the way that it's always shoehorned in, very afterthought, very like, she's in, she's out, it's not graceful, it's never highlighted in the music or the choreography... I was very disappointed that that was not remedied by the coaching change or the choreography change.
Yeah, I wonder if it's, like, the one thing, like, not the one thing she can do because she can do everything, but I wonder if it's, like, something that she wants to show off.
If she wants to show it off and she's my student, I tell her, then you prove to me that you can hold it for, like, 3-4 seconds, and then we'll put it in for 3-4 seconds. Otherwise, no.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced she can. I maybe she can. I can't remember off the top of my head if she has, like, in an exhibition or something. If she has, like, please let me know. But, like, I can think of no other reason why she's never allowed to hold a choreographical element, even across a coaching change. Like, spirals included, if she can do it, why not let her do it?
Yeah, it's just jarring. It was jarring to me in both of her programs, especially her short, which I enjoyed a lot, to, like, see it come back, because it's like, oh, there it is. I don't know. I think we've seen so much change from her in a very exciting, very fascinating direction. But then there is also like those things of like holding on. I wish she would feel confident enough in where she's headed to like let go of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we saw so much progress in so little time. It was like unbelievable. Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe as she continues to grow and she continues to work even longer with Team Plushenko that hopefully this is indicative of like a positive trend and a continued trend of progress. And, you know, hopefully she gets choreography that lets her grow.
I also hope that now that she's like soft debuted her new stuff, I hope the feedback that she is getting from that and even like the audience response at the arena, like lets her know that she's going somewhere that's good.
Something Ted said about a lot of the women, especially the free skates, was that they seemed quite light on transitional elements. And I wish he hadn't, because I know now someone's going to hear it and add 1,000 friggin' kicks. Because that was the thing is, even the Daniil choreo, I thought was pretty tasteful for him. It didn't have 100.
It's just because he's not done with it.
I feel like it appears they're going to add like 700 more things to jack up this every little tiny fraction of a score. It's strategic and it drives me insane. And so I'm like, oh, what if Plushenko then has to do that too, just to be competitive? I just hate it. It's crowded and messy. But, you know, because they were apparently not done, we got to see, like, some uncrowded skating, which was good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Alena Kosternaya. So we only saw a short program for her. As we said, it was fun. This is what I'm talking about. Like, when do we get this, like, fun eyelash moment from Sherbakova? Like, probably never. We got to see
Kosternaya gets it.
Funky teen vampiress Kosternaya come back as a Billie Eilish. I don't fully understand Billie Eilish as a phenomenon, but I respect her.
Do you want to do that again? Because you just sounded so old.
Was there a problem with the recording or are you shading me?
I'm shading you. You just sounded old.
It is true that I am old. I too am like, is this a sign that I'm getting too old? That I don't fully understand the appeal of Billie Eilish? I think her music is really good. I don't think she's like a great singer, but I also don't think that that's a huge problem. But I think if I was a teen girl, I would maybe be like, yes, you know?
See, I get it because I don't personally, like, I would never go on Spotify and be like, show me the Billie Eilish. Like, she's not exactly my cup of tea musically, but I get the appeal because I was an emo teenager and I grew up to be a very emo grown-up. So I understand it, but there's something just so hot. And I don't mean that in like a sexualizing way. I mean that in just like there's something so badass about being the topic of conversation for months with like, oh, what is she gonna do? How is this gonna be different? And then having that beat drop to You Should See Me in a Crown.
I love that song. I will say, like, that's the caveat here, is that that's kind of the one Billie song that I, like, know and really like.
I like a bunch of her music. I like Bad Guy as well. It was weird because we were texting about it and I was like, oh my God, this is it. I love this program. And then people on Twitter across the board were like, I don't know, guys, what do you think about it? And there was like this weird moment of people being unsure, which I get, but I'm like, this is a banger. Like, this is one of those programs, like I said earlier, where I'm like, I want to see this when there's stakes. Like, I want to see this when she, like, cares 110%. You know what I mean?
Totally. I think Kosternaya is one of those skaters who connects, who's you I will say what am I trying to say here? I think that the difference between when she's connected to a piece of music and when she's not so much is so stark, and like it's like a, when she really is feeling herself and her connection to like a contemporary pop song, it's like a switch flicks on and it's magical. And so I think that there's a huge strong case for her to be allowed to skate to that music if that's what it does for her stage presence.
Or... it's like when the beat drops and changes into Supermassive Black Hole in that one. Yeah. It's just because, again, I got to see that in person back when we were allowed to travel and see sports. And the energy shift was like literally a thing that you would feel watching it happen. Is like, she's like, okay, now I'm having fun. And I appreciate them letting her do that for an entire program.
I wish that they didn't start it off with the Billie Eilish Bond theme, because I just need a second to talk about this. Netta knows very well that I feel very passionately about Bond themes. It's one of my weird little, like, quirky interests is, like, James Bond theme songs. And I am really mad that they pick somebody who does, like, interesting, like, trap pop, electronic, like, highly produced stuff. And, like, I thought maybe we could get another, like, synth pop banger, like, back when Duran Duran did View to a Kill, I think is what that was, if my memory serves. And instead we got just, like, Skyfall... Sam Smith, whatever that one was called, like part three. And I was like, then get someone who sings like torch songs. Don't get like Apples and Bananas Billie Eilish and then not let her do what she does. I was really mad about that. And I don't like that song, and no one should skate to it or listen to it.
Meh. See, here's the thing. Here's my opinion about this. I agree with everything you've just said. I also think I would be deeply upset if that was the entire program. However, giving me this, like, low-key, you know, oh, it's contemporary, but it's nothing to write home about, first half of this then makes going into the step sequence, going into the drop of You Should See Me in a Crown pay off so much more. Because we all know I like a skate to an indie banger, like, we know that. I think there's something to be said here about, like, the, oh, here's what I could be doing, but also You Should See Me in a Crown.
Yeah, that is a serve. I buy that. I buy that for sure. And I really, do we know
what I may or may not be overanalyzing this, but you know.
We always are. That's why you like to listen to us. We go way too hard. Welcome. We think too much. Listen, do we know what her free skate was going to be?
I don't. I think she has not announced it. It's just that she's working on it. Mysterious. And it's a collaboration.
Mysterious. Yeah. Well, I'm very curious. I'm excited.
I trust this collaboration and I'm excited to see it.
Speaking of overdoing it, I want to talk about my camp queen, Elisaveta Tukhtomysheva.
Oh my god, the empress.
The empress herself.
The queen. The Wonder Woman of figure skating.
Yeah, so short program. Elisaveta Tukhtomysheva skates out in like full Wonder Woman white and gold. It's not, I keep calling it Wonder Woman and I feel like the white with the gold is She-Ra.
It's Grecian.
It's like Grecian, yeah. She-Ra, vaguely Wonder Woman, yeah.
I think you're thinking Wonder Woman just because she has like a forehead tiara.
Yes, it was like Wonder Woman and She-Ra and Grecian vague. Grecian vague. And skating to Catch Turian. It was campy and great. I mean, did we get any triple axels from her? No. The axel was not there on that day. It was sad.
Did we get any combos? Also no.
Also no. I thought her triples looked really easy though. Like, you know how triples just look different when you know the person has a quad? Like, they just do a triple differently. It just looks a little easier for them. Like,
yeah.
I will say that about her. I was sad to see she wasn't at her full peak, but also, like, goddamn, did she look nice. And, like, I really appreciate that she is never one to skimp on a fashion moment.
Yeah, I think the difference between, like, trying hard for test skates and showing up with a golden tiara is that she is herself and that she can afford to do this. And also she's just there to put on a show. And I appreciate that and respect it.
You go to a party, right? Let's say there's like, it's like this same party where it's like Zhenya and Sasha showed up in like a black crop top and some nice jeans and like whatever. And then like Anna and Camila showed
up. Combat boots.
Yeah, combat boots. Anna and Camila showed up in their like party dresses that they got at Charlotte Russe that they like agonized over. And then you get Lisa, who's like someone's weird.
In full drag.
Full drag. Like someone's weird cousin who is like, you know, she's going to show up 2 hours late. She's going to be the life of the party. And she's going to have like a cigar and like a weird gauze thing wrapped around her. And you don't know why, but it's like, yeah, she's working it. Like, that's not trying
too hard.
She's
just the only person who's coming from her drag gig, and that's valid of her. And if someone's offended by me saying that, I'm literally a drag performer. Yeah, yeah, I get to say that.
And like, Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. It's like the difference between being like, oh, I don't know, is it a costume party? And being like, no, it's not, but I don't care.
It's like, I went shopping and I got this Grecian dress, so I'm wearing this Grecian dress.
Yeah, the dress code is, this is what I wanted to wear.
Yeah. It's very charming on her and I appreciate it. I will say, I have once again been cheated in figure skating by a back cutout, which looks very cool. And at first, like, glance, I'm like, oh, this looks incredible and it's fun. And then I look at it somewhere and I'm like, oh, this is cultural appropriation, isn't it?
I was real kind of mad about that. That free skate didn't sit well with me. I gotta be honest. It was the cutout in the back.
Yeah, I'm upset about it.
Which I'm kind of mad at myself that I couldn't get a good enough look at it to read it, because I'm not totally illiterate in the kanjis, but I, as cool as it looked, I couldn't actually figure out what it was.
It probably says, like, weird foreigner who does not speak Japanese.
I was gonna say I would laugh really hard if she thought it meant, like, wanderlust, and
live,
it meant
love,
like
love.
And it meant like veterinarian or something. But yeah, it's a cool outfit aside from that.
I mean, it's a bunch of black mesh and velvet. You know I enjoy that.
Yeah, she's gonna work the hell out of that. I don't want to say, like, under no circumstances can a white person skate to, like, anything vaguely Asian themed, because I'm sure there are exceptions that could be presented to me. Like, I thought Jenya's Memoirs of a Geisha was, like, fine as far as those things go. It was a little, like, you remember Nicole Schott's Kung Fu Panda, like, whoosh, 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 arms yeah. waving, like, very, like, someone saw Karate Kid one time in the 80s and yeah. then was like, that's what this is. It was very that. And I think it's when you take it to a place of, like, it's vague, it doesn't have to be specific, it doesn't have to be well-researched, that's where it gets gross for me.
Okay, I'm not gonna draw parallels, because I don't want it to sound like I'm excusing some things and okaying others, but there is a way to be vague, like, there is a way to be Maddie and Evan doing, like, oh, it's weirdly Egyptian, but, like, not exactly, and then being like, oh, this is Japanese, here's the Japanese alphabet, but also it's vague.
Yeah, you gotta either keep it so vague that it's not even tied to, like, any one region of the world, or
yeah, if
go
you're doing,
specific.
Like, weird, like, a historical, a cultural pastiche, that's one thing. If you're doing, like, I went to Japan once and I had a real good time, here's a skate about it, that's different. And it's also, like, white people have colonized so much that there are so many things that in the present day you can own as a white person. And I'm not saying that is a good thing, but there are so many, like, fucking be Alexander Samarin, like, do a folk, like, Russia. I'm not saying everyone should be doing, like, folklore things or whatever, but, like, there's so much of your own culture and there's so much culture that's accessible to you that you could be doing. Why would you embarrass yourself and, like, cosplay Japanese vague instead?
It wasn't even clear to me if it was supposed to be Japanese or Chinese or what. Like, this could just be my memory failing me, but I don't even know if it, like, that was part of the issue, was that it didn't even feel localized.
The Russian commentator said that there was a Japanese theme, and I don't trust them, but that's what they said.
Yeah, I don't know. I
just wish she would do anything else.
Yeah, well, I was saying, you know, last year she started with one free skate and then went back to the one from last year. So maybe we'll just continue that pattern and she'll go back to Caravan, which I've loved. So fingers
yeah.
crossed, I guess. I just, like,
yeah, we'll see.
Here's what I want to say. I was kind of thinking about this earlier too, just for, like, various other reasons. I think a lot of stuff around, like, discourse of these, like, difficult topics boils down to people wanting black and white rules of, like, what is good and what's not good, and, like, you can do that up to a point, but there's always going to be exceptions and nuances and special cases, and it's so case by case, and so much of it is you just feeling it out and, like, having to rely on things like instincts and feelings, and it's messy and complicated, and people want easy answers of, like, you can only ever skate to music that's by somebody of your ethnicity, or it's always fine, but, like, it's yeah. just not that easy. And I'm just gonna say, like, I don't think that this was it. This missed the mark for me for reasons that I can articulate and some reasons that I can't, but hopefully
Same.
You kind of get. And I don't really yeah. blame Liza. I don't blame any one person, but I think, as always, it's a general oversight between choreographer and coach and maybe skater and costume designer and what have you.
Yeah, I guess we'll see how she progresses, because you're right, she does have a tendency to kind of switch things around. But yeah. That's basically how I feel about it as well.
Disappointing after we had such a great season of selections of like music and stuff from her last year.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of weird choices, let's talk about Sofia Samodurova.
Yeah, a lot of weird choices in a meta sense as well. But first, let's talk about the skating and costume first. What was the music?
It was one of the men with the harmonicas. Mm, it was her and Andrei Mozalov who were doing Western question mark.
Well, you know, when I think of Western, I'm going to tell you what I think of. And it's Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's Bride of Frankenstein and also like, quote unquote, tribal vague.
Oh, yeah, I kind of blocked that part out. But she really did have like that kind of...
She just had three dots of like clown white going down her forehead.
Yeah, which I'm like, if you squint, it could be that like Pat McGrath Euphoria aesthetic. But like, was it?
Well, her eye makeup is very much that because she... I'm looking at it right now and she had purple eyeliner with like pink eyeshadow.
I didn't even notice under everything else. That's how wild it was that eye look was like buried under so many other things.
Yeah, I have questions about why she was doing this with her hair and her entire look. I will say it's deeply relatable to do so much with your hair and makeup and then just show up in black leggings. That is the representation I need.
It is the whole aesthetic. Yeah, like really, that's a look that I relate to more than pretty much anything else out there. Maybe not the spray-painted white hair, although as I did say on Twitter, she is out there representing those of us who made a lot of hair choices during quarantine.
I just don't understand why the hair. If you were doing... When I saw it, my first thought was not Bride of Frankenstein, actually. It was Mrs. Lovett from Sweeney Todd. I was like, that could be a look if you're doing something that like vaguely relates to it. But then you'd start doing like a...
Yeah, I thought she was going to do like a Young Frankenstein medley. I don't know. I was really confused by it. But the main thing... And she did fine. Like, I thought she looked fine. I don't know. I didn't think anything particularly crazy about that skate. And then we find out she's withdrawn from the free skate because she skated the short program with a fever, which we're like, okay, let's give Russia the benefit of the doubt and just assume that they're doing everything above board. And then we hear they let a skater skate with a fever. Are you kidding me?
It's just crazy. But I'm also like, the other thing is I'm wondering if she had a fever or she was just kind of feeling under the weather, which already don't be there. Stay at home. Fucking like don't be among people. But I don't know. I wonder if it was like also the case of her team being like, oh yeah, she's not feeling well, she has a fever, to like excuse her not being at the free skate. I don't know. There's something about it feels weird and I'm not sure which part of it it is.
Yeah, I guess that's also a possibility. Well, you know what it is it's like this political intrigue element of Russian test skates, because it's not numbers based. It's based on the opinions of the Federation, which we're not really privy to at any point. And Sofia Samodurova is an interesting case to me and has been for quite some time because she was this breakout star two seasons ago that no one really saw coming. She did great in the Grand Prix circuit. She ended up taking the Euros title that year, which no one saw coming. And then the next season, aka last season, the 3A come up into seniors and she just, you know, she has a little bit of an off season and then she doesn't even get any international placements second half. Yeah. The reigning European ladies champion doesn't get international placements the next season. That's insane. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I wonder about what sort of conversations are going into that as well.
I mean, I understand in the context why that decision was made. If I was her at this point, I would see this as really make or break. I have to go to Russian test skates because for somebody like Alina Zagitova, who has a reputation, sure, she can skip it, but I'm on the cusp. I have accolades, but I also have been snubbed and I have a lot of competition. So this is important for me to be here. And like, if that's the ethos of like her team, even if she doesn't feel good, like, she's gonna go skate because that's what she has to do to get on that radar. So it kind of sucks. Like, I just felt really bad for her.
Yeah, I feel for her. And I hope that, I don't know, I was gonna say I hope the conversation's fair, but I know it's not. So I don't know. If I were being snubbed like that, I too would dye my hair red and gray and skate to some Western, I guess.
Yeah, why not? Why not at that point? I just hope she feels better and that she's safe and that... No one is like, I hope that a lesson is learned from this. Like, don't let people skate with fevers.
Yeah. Especially like when we're, you know, that like the world of figure skating is watching and we're all going to hear about it. I'm not saying it would be better if we didn't. I'm just saying like, don't want to be showing this level of neglect this early in the season.
Well, part of the reason this is televised is like for propaganda purposes. And I'm not saying I guess I hesitate to use the word propaganda because it has kind of a xenophobic flavor to it. And I guess what I mean is, like, just the Russian Federation wants Russian skating to look really good and popular and great. And this doesn't, that's taking away from that image by saying, like.
I mean, it is also propaganda. Like, I do not feel equipped to get into it, but there is a lot about populism and, you know, the, oh, we are stronger than this pandemic and look at our incredible national champions doing their thing. Like, and allowing an audience inside the arena. Like, all of this is clearly something that a committee somewhere sat down and decided. And again, I do not feel smart enough to, like, begin talking about it. But, like, think about
it. I mean, if you don't, then I'm a Westerner who has no idea, so.
Let's talk about Zhenya.
Let's talk about the main event. Let's talk about Evgenia Medvedeva, the original defector. She didn't have a great showing and yet still managed to kind of outclass everybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she's so special. But also, like, she made kind of like the international news here with, like, her coaching team watching her on FaceTime and, like, the whole situation. I watched an interview where she was like, it's good to be home, but I want to be. And then she, like, trails off and she's like, I almost said home back with my skating family, like, whatever.
I was so touched by that.
I'm like, cute. Like, every single one of us can relate to feeling like their home is in several different places. Yeah, it's a nice immigrant narrative that I relate to and appreciate. But she just looks so powerful, even if, like, whatever, like, some of her jumps weren't super there. She feels like she's so in control. In a way where, like, even in her free skate, when there was, like, that one jump that, like, just did not happen at all, it feels like she just knows her body to an extent where it's like, oh, going into this, I know there's no use in trying, you know?
Yeah, I kind of just felt like, in the same way that I always just mentally am like, if a skater just changed coaches, that's that. Like, we don't. I don't want to say lower the bar because it sounds mean, but it's true. Like, I just expect weird, quirky things to happen. That's also the way that I feel about a skater who's in a competition alone and their whole coaching staff is in another country.
Yeah.
It's just not an ideal condition. Like, yeah, everyone has to do it sometimes, but it's just not going to be as good as if they were there. So she's at that disadvantage.
Yeah. But I think that her programs are super cool. Her weird free skate.
Yeah, because we all kind of agree the Khachaturian slaps. Like, we love that. We love it. We love it. It's a classic. It's so good for her vibe. It's so great. I think the free skate was controversial. Like, some people really liked it. Some people really didn't.
I'm obsessed with it.
I really like it. I think it's weird. She's doing strange poses. It's like, you know, maybe you, Cirque du Soleil isn't your bag. And, like, that's fine. It's really not mine either, but I just really love the way that Zhenya continues to pick new and different challenges every season. She's not just doing the same thing over and over.
Something that's interesting to me is also, I was watching her free skate and I was thinking about how there is this, it's reminded me of both Yuzu and Nathan in a weird way in that there was so much liberty and just, like, weird experimental vibes in the quality of movement, which reminded me of both the dance break in Nathan's free skate last year and my very favorite step sequence of all time, the Atonyal, like, running into a step sequence kind of energy.
I fully got that too, that Atonyal moment, and just the overall Yuzu vibes, like, that royal quality, that, like, composure. Like, I was really getting that too. It's must be something in the water at cricket.
That's so exciting. And it's, again, one of those skates where I'm like, God, I cannot wait. Like, I'm not disappointed that I didn't see it at 100% now, because imagine how we're all going to feel when, in a costume, she hits that cartwheel.
And furthermore, like, as much as I wish we could have seen it, and I know we will, it's real cute to see her just kind of stick her tongue out and be like, wow.
And just having fun with it and knowing that this is, like, seeing that she's grown to a point where she could be like, well, but I tried. Like, I respect it, and it makes me happy, and it humanizes this entire experience so much. Also, I do enjoy seeing how intensely the Russian audience continues to be behind her, like with the scarves in the audience and this huge banner that like said like Medvedeva is a goddess.
The right
First of all, correct,
say.
Yes. But also just like the people are not buying into the narratives that they've been given for like a couple years now. It's not like, oh, she left or like, oh, look at her like without her coaches because they're not from around here, like whatever. The people are just like, yeah, Zhenya's home. Let's watch her skate. And that's so exciting and fun.
It is. And I really loved the way that the camera work allowed us to see her on FaceTime with Brian. And we could even see his face and hear a little of what he was saying, which to me, I was like, oh my God, like, God bless this camera team and this sound team. Like,
some bonus cricket thing. Affirmations.
Yeah, like, it was just really cool. I was expecting to see her with a phone. I just was really impressed by how much of that we were able to watch. Like, that was very cool.
Very sweet.
Speaking of, like, not buying into narratives and stuff, one thing I do want to say before we close is that there was an interview that Alyona Kosternaya gave where, I guess, someone asked her, like, how do you feel about Atari being vicious on social media? She just kind of said, like, you know, I don't agree with that. I feel like she should have said something to me in person. I don't think that's good, but whatever. I can't comment on that. And she said something like, oh, it's good to be in a place where I know that I won't be, like, sworn at if I make a mistake.
The subtle shade of that is, I appreciate that she's not being like, I'm going to give a press conference and, like, talk about everything that's ever happened to me. But she's like,
she
I'm
nice
in a place now where I'm not getting horribly abused. And that's great.
And, you know, I saw a fair amount of comments on that that were like, that's nice. And maybe it is better, but it's probably not a paradise. Like, Plushenko's
camp is
by no means cricket, I'm sure. And I agree with that.
Like, I'm not here to, like, romanticize Evgeny Plushenko. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do.
If you want to romanticize Evgeny Plushenko, go watch Sex Bomb.
No. Let's wrap this. I'm done.
Yeah. But we're excited that Kosternaya appears. If she's telling the truth, then she appears to be in a better place, and we're really excited for her.
And if anything, someone's giving her the language to be able to talk about whatever's happening to her, so that's great.
Yeah, really excited. So, positive trends all around.
Well, there you have it, folks. I hope you've enjoyed top 10 podcast episodes recorded before disaster. I'm recording the outro by myself because this episode is a time travel miracle. So I'm here to just let you know that we appreciate you and your support for the pod. We are very excited to start covering whatever we get from the Grand Prix series very, very soon. And in the meantime, you can find us at IcedPod on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me personally if you want to tell me that I'm an editing wizard at Neda Marie on Twitter and Instagram. That's NEDA and then Marie, just like any Marie that you know. You can find Megan at Megan Kelleher Tree. That's MEGHANKELLEHER and then the number 3 on Twitter and Instagram. Or you can support both of us on Patreon, which helps us keep the lights on in our metaphorical studio. And we also donate some of our proceeds to the Black Lives Matter movement and different organizations supporting Black lives and Black creators and Black skaters. Last month, we donated to the Okra Project and Figure Skating in Detroit. And you get to be a part of that if you join us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/IcedPod. And we are immensely grateful to everyone who does. I'm about to shout out everyone who supports us for the very first time because Megan's not here. So thank you so, so, so very much to Jordan, Danny, Julia, Heath, Jennifer, Inspirit, I'm always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, KM, Susan, Red, Joe, Samira, and Nikki. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. We promise that next episode is going to be a lot more chronologically sound than this one. Thank you so much. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye.